I just have a question. Where are those who have fallen asleep? Are they resting in Abraham's bosom, or because I've heard different answers to that, so I just want like a clear response.
Ow. Go ahead.
You go.
No, you go.
Very briefly, it's not really, there is enough time to explain it, but just very briefly. In the Old Testament, when somebody died, they were not quite sure what it is. They call it Sheol in Hebrews. It's the unseen world. It's a world where the spirits are. And they also believe that that Sheol place, that's the unseen world, was kind of divided into two compartments, if I could say that. One was for the righteous to be there, those who believed in the Lord. And one for the wicked, that is a place of torment. That's what in the Old Testament, their idea of that invisible, unseen world. In Luke chapter 16, we get a little bit of revelation from the Lord Jesus about this Sheol. Now, the word in the New Testament is a Greek word called Hades. So Hades and Sheol are the same thing. One is Hebrew and one is Greek. So both have two compartments. Both the unseen world, the world of the spirit. One is for the wicked and one is for the righteous. In Luke 16, we get kind of an open a little bit to see what it is. We see that the place that is a place of the righteous, for a Jewish mind, the best place to be, the place of comfort and the place of honor will be Abraham's bosom. That's the highest thing that you could think of. So, this is great. And for the wicked, the rich man, he was in the place of torment. He was being tortured. And he asked for a drop of water. He would ask that Lazarus go and speak to his brother so they would not come back. The Lord Jesus gave us even more revelation. He told the thief on the cross, today, thou shalt be not in Abraham's bosom. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. So he revealed to us that this world that we kind of have a vague idea what it is, for the righteous, for those who love the Lord Jesus, for those who believed in God, is called paradise. And that's where the spirits go up. They go up to paradise. The body is buried in the grave. And that's where paradise is. If you need more information on that, you and I will talk later. There's an article that I have written that's in the magazine Toward the Mark. I could show you where it is, and there's more detail about it. But just very simply, because it's not the time for it. Is that good?
I would give this from Philippians again. From Philippians, Paul could say in chapter 1, verse 23, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. So let me get hold of that. To depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Again, from 2 Corinthians, we are confident, for 2 Corinthians 5:8, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So I think that probably would be enough, and we would catch more after if we needed. Help us with the trumps, brethren. At the last trump, the trumpet shall sound.
All right, I'll tell you what happened in the Roman military. In the Roman military, this is actually what we have here is a military expressions. In the Roman military, I think, those of you who know history might know better than me, that there was three kind of sound of trumpet. There was the first trumpet for the soldier to get together and get ready. The second trumpet is to kind of stand up in attention. And then the third trumpet or the last trumpet. And that is the last trumpet. The last blast is where people will start marching. So here it is, the last trumpet. It's going to sound. Now, I want to tell you something. I think this is very unique. I don't believe everybody in the world will hear that trumpet. If you remember what Brother Chuck told us earlier on, who is that epistle written to? To Christians. Not only at Corinth, but to all of those who call upon the name of the Lord everywhere. I think there was something about our ears that will hear that blast. And you know what? We will be marching on when we hear that blast. We're ready to go. I want you to imagine now. I want you to imagine that. I just think of Satan and his demons are kind of hanging around in the atmosphere. And that trumpet, and all of a sudden, I don't think they will hear it. I think only believers will hear it. And all of a sudden, they see these believers, the armies, the millions. Those who are in grave are, well, I don't want to go to explain the details. But they're going to see all of these believers are responding. And here is this millions and trillions of saints of God marching on in the atmosphere. Where I don't know what Satan is going to do that day. When he sees all the saints of God going on, marching on. He thought he got them by death. He thought he got them all. Every time somebody died, he left. He said, I got one. Right in the grave. And that moment, when the grave will have no victory. When death will have no victory. And we're all going to be marching on. How great is the work of Christ?
The emphasis was placed a few moments ago by someone, this corruptible must. What a wonderful word. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. This is just as sure as I think again we've talked about what the purposes of God. Young people, this is part of it. This is part of it right here. It's centered in the man Christ Jesus. It's based solely upon his finished work on Calvary. This will take place. What about the unsaved, by the way? What about those that lived in this world and died unsaved? What kind of body are they going to have? A body that's been covered with tattoos and racked with sin and drugs and all of these things is the very body. I don't care if it's been cremated. I don't care what they've done. It will be raised. And they will stand in that body before the Lord Jesus at the great white judgment throne. What a solemn thing to think about. They will stand before that one who appealed to them as a Savior, but will not see him then as a Savior. Their lives, their deeds are all recorded. Their name is proven not to be there. And in that form, they will be cast into the lake of fire. Man can do whatever he wants to with the body. He can come up with all kinds of things. But we know the one who breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. That body will resurrect also.
If I may touch on what you have said. He mentioned the word cremation. For Christians do not do stuff like that. This body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. This body have brought fruits for Christ. You do not burn the temple of God. You put it in the grave. You bury a saints. You don't burn it. You're living in a world where, because they don't believe, that's the end of it. Let's just burn it and don't waste space and just throw it everywhere. And mocking the God of resurrection. Thinking that by spreading the ashes over the ocean and the fish will eat it and the big fish will eat the small fish and you eat the fish and you die and it's gone. No. He's in control of everything and he will bring these dead to stand before him and he will judge them. Christians do not practice cremation.